Turbulent times call for clear-headed insight. That's hard to come by these days, especially on TV. That's where we come in. Salem News Channel has the greatest collection of conservative minds all in one place. People you know and trust, like Dennis Prager, Eric Metaxas, Charlie Kirk, and more. Unfiltered, unapologetic truth. Find what you're searching for at snc.tv and on Local Now Channel 525.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance on this 30th day of January. Only one more day left. 2024, and tonight, he's the king of the dials. His name is Style. He's our producer. Hey, Style.
Hey, good evening, Pastor.
And, of course, the legendary out yonder Missouri man, the Parson Joel Erson.
I guess I am guilty as charged, sir, so ready to go to work.
And myself, Pastor Sanders, their hero, what can I say? Still here.
American bottle washer.
Yeah. All of this time, right? Listen.
There's one responsible, let's put it that way. It's your fault.
Hey, listen. It's a lot of responsibility. It's not easy to be you and Styles' hero every night.
It's true.
No.
It's true. I got to set the example for you. All righty. Now, we probably better get into the message, huh, before we get carried away.
Yeah, the book is a comedy routine here shortly.
Do you remember the title?
Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea, then and now.
So we're comparing these three churches with the days where the last three churches before the Lord returns, and how today parts of all three of these churches are present in today's world. In fact, they're very present.
And very present.
And so if we take a look at where we left off, well, let's go ahead and start, because we only got through verse 1, so start back and read verse 1 and pause.
Okay. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead.
All right, so here now what you have, the angel of the church is the pastor of the church. The seven spirits, in short, is a name for the Holy Ghost. And, of course, that's a whole sermon on the seven spirits, but in short, it's a name for the Holy Ghost. And he says, he's making a point where he says, I know thy works, and thou hast a name, and thou that thou livest, but thou art dead. Boy, I'm going to tell you, he's telling them a couple things. One, try to hold on to the truth that you had received when you first believed in Christ. No new teaching, any of the new teachings that will be, and like today, late recently, we've been really been debating and with some people that have come up with some very, very strange new teachings because of books being written. And so, you know what I mean, Joe, when we're talking about Jesus wasn't a Jew, it never was a land of Israel. These are not biblical teachings. The Bible's been rewritten, all of these things, because of some new book that's out. And so when these new teachings come in and they contradict the biblical teachings, what do you do with them, Joe?
I throw them in the trash can. Ignore them, tell people not to read them.
Absolutely.
There's very little out there that in this new age that's being written is good. There are a few good things, but they're few and far between, I'm sorry to say.
So what he's saying here, too, is that the church there in Sardis had many, many members, Joe, who were not really born-again believers at all. And, you know, they were, and the ones that were, were nominal Christians at the best, without any zeal or commitment.
He's telling the whole church that the church is dead to him. It
right.
has a name. It's called a church, but it's dead. It's dead to the Lord because they are not born-again believers.
Okay, so this is typical of today, of so many that are in what they call the mainline denominational churches today.
Right.
And or the World and National Council of Churches. And, I mean, that is they're very, very prevalent. They many of them literally have gone all the way to the opposite direction where they're literally embracing Satanism.
Yeah. They're embracing evil, they're embracing sin, and they are no longer, you know, a church. They're being pastored by hirelings, and their people sitting in the pews are there to be, some are there to be entertained, some are there to do business, and I haven't figured out why some of them are even there.
Well, you have.
It really isn't get to draw closer to God.
United Church of Christ draws drag queens, their sodomite marriage, their pro-abortion, whatever God's word in the Bible calls a sin, them, the Episcopal, for the most part, the majority of your Lutheran today, with the Baptists, only about 10 or 15% are actually Baptists. The vast are Protestant, and many of them are apostate totally. United Methodist. So you have all of these that have apostatized, and of course today, you know, the Roman Catholic Church, this Pope is literally an antichrist. This guy is horrible, okay? And I know that he is really has many, many Roman Catholics are very, very concerned about this guy, as the, well they should be. Many are leaving because of him. So we're seeing...
I can't believe that there's some that are still there. I mean, if that's the way they're going to run that organization and try and call it a church or religion, I'm sorry, it's time to bail out of that, because it ceased being a church. It ceased being a... if he's the head and the head is dying, the head is sick, and that's going to rot the body, right?
Well, what it's going to be, we're seeing and living in the days of the great apostasy. Now, what the Bible teaches, what God's word, the Bible teaches, and I'm not talking about dogmas or different church doctrines, what they have, what they call, but what the word of God teaches is that in the last days, the true church, the body of Christ, is not a denomination. It will not be a denomination. Denominations are not biblical at all, okay?
No, they're not.
And so they will be born again, Bible-believing, with no denominational affiliation. Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone is the head of the true church, okay? And they
Amen.
Will be.
Yes.
And
well,
so,
we always use the words, Jesus called us living stones
yeah.
to kill your people. So we living stones build a living church because we're the temple of God. We house the Holy Spirit. So the living stones build a living church that what worships the risen Lord. That is the true church. It is the body of believers that built his church, right?
Yep.
It's not a complicated definition. Like you said, nowhere does the word denomination ever appear.
Not at all. The government of the church is very, very simple. Christ and Christ alone is the head, the pastor of the local congregation, then the elders and the deacons, and then the assembly.
The under-shepherd, right?
Right. And that's the very, very simple. That's the government of the church. Verse 2. Go ahead.
Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God.
Okay, that word perfect there is the same word we use for complete. And he says here, what he's telling you is that their works were far, far from being sufficient. And he said, what are left are so weak that they're ready to die themselves. So he says in verse 3, go ahead.
Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast, and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee.
So every believer today, during the entire church age, should be watching for the coming of the Lord, shouldn't we? That's what he tells you in Mark 13:37.
Be watching daily.
For the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night.
Thief in the night. Now, no one knows when he will come.
We as a church, we understand, okay, that we're looking for the rapture of the church. And now, so we understand that there's nothing that needs to be fulfilled at this point here. The Lord could come back at any time, can he not?
He could come tonight, or he could come 50 years from now. We're not clear. I know we're getting a lot closer to his coming, but the Scripture makes it clear. No one but the Father knows.
So the last four...
He didn't tell me, and I don't think he told you, right?
Right. The last four of the seven epistles have a reference to the imminent return of the Lord Jesus,
sure,
making
yep.
it clear. Yeah. So we go to verse 4. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled thy garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. So he's saying in the church of Sardis, is that the same today in the apostate church? You have some in there. I have run into different people within the World and National Council of Churches. I actually had some pastors that used to attend years ago our Thursday morning men's pastor's breakfast, and these were pastors in apostate churches. Of course, I urged them to come out from amongst them, be you separate from them. And I remember a dear friend of mine, Bob, he was in the United Church of Christ, and he said, Pastor, we're changing it from within. And it was an interesting thing because one day he came to the breakfast and he was all excited. And out of their evangelism, their group that they had of 12 churches, five of the pastors had received Christ as a Savior, had made a profession of being born again out of 12. And he was so excited about that five... of these pastors that were actually saved. And
wow.
I told him, he said, we're going to change it from within. And I said, look, the fish rots from the head down. And I've never known any organization that has apostatized any that have come back from that. And so what the Bible tells you this, the Bible simply says, Bob, come out from amongst them, be you separate from them, okay, and touch not the unclean thing. And so it was 10 years since we had our first conversation. And one day I'm sitting, I'm working the booth at the Geauga County Fair, in fact, the pro-life booth. And I look up, and he's standing there with a big smile on his face. He said, "Well, it took me 10 years," he said, "but finally," he said, I took your advice." He said, "You were right." He said, "You can't change them from within. You got to come out." And that's what I told him. I said, "You have to come out from amongst them, Bob. Now, you could go back as a missionary, okay?"
And preach to them, right.
Yeah, but you got to first. Yeah, but you're right. But you got to first come out from amongst them, huh?
Exactly. And so, you can't be a part of it.
All right. Read verse 5.
"He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels."
Well, here now, the pressure, Joe, the pressure to deny Christ is going to be overwhelming. It's going to increase and increase as we get closer to the rapture of the church. And for those that are not really saved, you see, remember Jesus said, "Many are called, but few are chosen. Many will come. Many will have a profession of faith, but they're not really saved. Their heart is not with the Lord."
But not possession in the heart. Amen.
Right. This is why we always preach what? Make your salvation sure.
Mm-hmm.
You do that by repentance and prayer, huh? And so,
exactly. Because too many times people get caught up. There's a big group I've seen where they have a stadium and one of the evangelists is out there and people run up and so many were saved. But I think a lot of it's that mob mentality. You follow along with the crowd. Others are going. There's just so many that want to be something, want to be part of something, but I don't. It's more caught up in the moment. It's not real repentance in the heart. You know, real repentance is a real heartache.
So he
really
says he
to realize, you know, how much of a sinner you are and how rotten you are. And it's a hard thing for people to have to admit that.
He says that he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life. Now, who is it that will overcome?
The one who is saved as
right.
The indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the born-again believer, is the overcomer.
If they're truly saved, they have already overcome. They have already
right.
overcome.
They have become the overcomers,
and,
yes.
In fact, their names are already written in the book of life and introduced to the host of heaven as belonging to Christ already.
Yep. And so, and God says that, you know, no one can take them out of my hand.
Absolutely. In fact, he makes it very clear that their salvation is kept. He tells you in Ephesians 1 that their salvation is kept in heaven. It says
yeah,
that
salvation kept in heaven. That's the safest place I can think of. It sure isn't around here in this world.
The seal of their salvation is the Holy Spirit himself, the power of the Holy Spirit. And the sealer is none other than the Lord Jesus himself.
Jesus, amen.
And so your salvation is kept. And that's a good reason because, look, the most precious quantity that ever existed was the blood of Christ. It did what nothing else in the entire universe could do. And so here now, do you think, you see, if we could lose our salvation, we would lose our salvation. It would just take a sin, huh? And
yeah,
so
it wouldn't take much. And we, even those of us that are born again, we sin. We just have to go back to the Lord and continue to ask for forgiveness for the sins that we keep doing as long as we're in the flesh.
So would God the Father, would God the Father allow people, sinners, weaklings like us, to take hold and to keep our salvation that it was bought and paid for with the sacrifice of Christ? No, he would not turn that over to us. It would be like me going up over here and giving my grandson, "Here's your inheritance right now." You know, he's 7 years old. What is he going to do? Call a Uber, whatever, Uber, and go to the nearest candy store, right?
Yeah, or toy store, or yep.
Yeah, so you're not going to have, again, God is not going to trust us with the most precious gift that ever existed. So he keeps that for us because we could not keep it.
We're in the flesh, right?
Right. We can never, never keep that ourselves. And so we're at the point here. I think what we're going to do tonight is go and take our break right now because we have Jake Lane coming back with us tonight. And again, he is a hostage. He is one of the January 6th hostages, been in prison for 3 years without even charges against him so far. Had no trial, had no hearing. But his case is going before the Supreme Court. And, well, I'm going to tell you, Joe, even the guards at the jail are agreeing with the inmates. You guys don't belong here. The people that put you here really should be here. And even they know that, okay? And that so-called select committee, every one of them, this is why they have Trump derangement syndrome to such an extent, because they are scared to death. Trump gets back in. They have committed high treason, high treason they have committed. Merrick Garland has committed high treason. Chris Wray has committed high treason. Bill Barr has committed high treason. All of these people, Comey, Strzok, on and on. Those 51 former that lied, they knew that they were lying. These people all committed high treason against God and country. And they're scared to death because they know if we actually ever get a legitimate Department of Justice, they're going away. And that is why they have such Trump derangement syndrome. But we'll be back right after this with more.
Gordon Call was right when he made his famous stand. Heaven knows there was a man who fought the righteous fight till the wrong arm of the law gunned him down in Arkansas. He would not pay one dime of tribute to the IRS. And for his disobedience, they planned his fiery death. And now all is fair in love and war. Christian blood has been shed before. And though these tents of flesh may fail, the gates of hell shall never prevail. Because he gave his life for me, I shall not fear adversity. And we shall all meet at heaven's door. Cause all is fair in love and war.
p.m. on a North Dakota road, February 83, that's when the war began, where two federal marshals died for the sake of tyranny. They both would underestimate the courage of one man who only shot in self-defense to save his promised land. Because all is fair in love and shall never prevail. Because he gave his life for me, I shall not fear adversity. And we shall all meet at heaven's door. Cause all is fair in love and war.
When all was said and done, and the verdicts handed down, someone had to take the fall, and it was Gordon's son, who was wounded in the fray. Please won't you pray for your recall, who now must waste his life away in
inside some stinking jail. Please pray the Lord might set him free through faith. We shall prevail. They say all is fair in love and war. Christian blood has been shed before. And though these tents of flesh may fail, the gates of hell shall never prevail. Because he gave his life for me, I shall not fear adversity. And we shall all meet at heaven's door. 'Cause all is fair in love and war, in love and war.
All righty, all is fair in love and war. And, you know, that's the story with Gordon Call about corrupt, again, corrupt public officials, corrupt police. Just unbelievable what our country has come to today. And we have with us a hero of the faith, January 6th, one of those few, one of those that have been held hostage 3 years without a trial, Jake Lang. Hey, Jake.
Hey, brother. How we doing tonight, Pastor Ernie? I love you, brother. God bless you.
Well, thank you, my friend. And question is, how are you doing, and what's happening there in that dirty jail in D.C.?
Yeah, well, not much is happening inside the jail. You know, it's business as usual here, trying to section us off from society so that our voices are stifled. That's, you know, the real reason that they held most of the January 6ers in pretrial detention with all of the stringent, you know, conditions of confinement is because it's kind of like the ultimate form of censorship, you know. In 2020, we saw conservatives censored off social media for, you know, posting about COVID and, you know, the abortion ridiculous mandates that, you know, they were letting people get abortions up to, you know, the like seventh month or whatever. And if you fought against that on social media, you were censored. But now the ultimate form of censorship is ripping you out of your home and throwing you in a prison cell where you have very limited access to the outside world or social media or, you know, using your freedom of speech. So it's like the January 6ers have been canceled by the Biden regime.
Well, that's what, yeah. Well, that's one of the things that they want to do in New York now with the Governor Hochul. She wants to be able to come and take people if they decide that they've got a communicable disease of some contagious, without any rights, just grab them, take them away, with no rights, no charges, just take them and isolate them, and vaccinate them against their will. This is pure communism. And so
yeah, we've got to stand in with the banner of God wrapped around us right now, because, you know, this world will walk all over those who are, you know, like dragged about, like, you know, tossed to and fro like waves of the sea. If you're not standing firm with your feet planted and ready for war, you know, in the spiritual realm and any other way, these evil people, these tyrants and wicked, perverse people, they will just run right through you. And, you know, the call for the church and those of us who call upon the name of Jesus to just dig our roots down into a whole nother level where we become emboldened to do things in the spirit that are not humanly possible is really that season, because this is the type of season you get in where you see like Gideon 300s. And it doesn't matter. We don't need 10 million, 100 million, 500 million. You just need one to put 10,000 to flight. And it's that season. It's the season for miracles right now. And if we pray and we steadfast, we will see God's hand. Just, I'm excited, Pastor Ernie. I've been waiting 3 years for this type of spiritual environment for America to be ready and poised for what God's about to do. The church is going to see, an outpouring, and I know it. I feel it. It's in my bones.
Well, there's a lot of people that are doing exactly that are praying. There's a lot that's happening around the country today. And we see this, and because right now there's a tension, there's a feeling. You can feel it in the air. You can cut it with a knife almost, that that we're heading for possibly a civil war in this country. We're seeing the wicked, just as God's word, the Bible said it would be. The wicked are becoming more wicked and the righteous are becoming more righteous. And so we're seeing, and the two are on a collision course. And so this is exactly the what God's word, the Bible, see, we know what's coming because it's been literally spelled out to us and the accuracy is perfect. So we know what's heading this way. We know we're coming into times that there's going to be the tribulation period is here. And we're seeing all of the signs of the soon imminent return of the Lord. They're all out there. I mean, as plain as the nose on your face. So look up, and that's what we've been doing. We've been looking up. Amen?
Amen. Amen. You know, I had a message I received from the Holy Spirit last year, a little over a year ago, when I was in solitary confinement in Alexandria jail there in Virginia, right across the Potomac River from where I'm at right now, in D.C. jail. And it was, the way I wrote it down, but I'm going to paraphrase it for you guys tonight. And it was a message of separation, of God's holiness of his church and his people being separate and not being yoked with the sinners, not being in fellowship. You know, light has no fellowship with darkness. And I think that, you know, I'm not one of the people, like, you know, like calling for a national divorce and whatnot of Republicans and Democrats. But just as you said, the Word of God is calling, you know, the righteous to become more righteous, and the wicked are falling away in greater numbers. And I've been speaking a message over the church that because we know the bridegroom is coming, because we know he will not come to a dirty bride. I mean, Jewish tradition in the Bible, when the woman was to prepare herself to become a bride, she would go to a mikveh bath. She would purify herself. She would separate herself from her normal duties, and she would prepare herself for the bridegroom. And the church needs to be in that same mindset right now, that it is a season of purification, of elevation and separation, of sanctification, of these different principles where we need to root out the worldliness, the perverse, the effeminate, the lesser elemental powers, the strife, the jealousy, the vainglory, these things that have rooted themselves in our hearts and in the church in general. And it is a season of purification, because how can we expect Christ to come unto a bride and accept the church when it is bare and dirty and ragged and filthy in its righteousness, in its holiness? And so I speak to those out there, mature, those who are prepared for the tribulation, who will not bend or surrender. And I speak to those brothers and sisters who are firmly rooted that it is a season of purification. Purify yourself and your household, your community, your local church, and root out the wolves in sheep's clothing and keep God's place a holy place of sanctification, a sanctuary for his spirit to dwell. Because if we expect Christ to come unto a starved and bare-boned church, he will not. He deserves, our Lord, our Savior, our God, deserves to have the fullness of his, just the first fruits of his entire grace in the church. And so let's prepare a home for our King, which is our hearts, and sweep out all that's not of him.
Well, you know, there are things happening around the world where I know that with John McTernan, and he's been giving, been preaching in numerous other countries where there's revival breaking out around the world, but you just don't hear about it. It's not newsworthy here, and of course in the mainstream media, but we're seeing that, and I think I pray that it's coming here into America too. But there's been a large number of Muslims converting to Christianity, and they've been dreaming dreams, and seeing visions of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is this is, again, amazing. It's a sign of the end times. And so here in America, too, you can feel it in the air. There's again, like I said, I'm seeing on one side people's faith getting stronger than ever, and on the other side, I'm seeing they're becoming more wicked than other. And, of course, that, again, the righteous will become more righteous and the wicked will become more wicked, okay? And so that is, again, a sign of what I believe will be, well, in my lifetime, I'm hoping that we'll see the Lord's return. What do you think, Joe?
I mean,
I'm just going along with, go.
Okay.
Oh, sorry, brother, continue.
I was just going to add, you know, we're to be watching every day for his coming. And I was thinking, Jake, I think they're using you and the others as a warning to the rest of us to behave or see what will happen to you if you cross the deep state, if you go against the Biden administration, the liberal left. I think they're using all you folks there, the January 6th people, as I guess just a way to threaten the rest of America.
Yeah. I've been saying that for years, that we're, you know, used as fodder, that they're just chewing through us to, you know, show Trump and his team and the rest of the American people, you know, just how disposable they believe we are and how they're willing to, you know, ravage your life and your family, your businesses, generational businesses destroyed, you know, multi-generational homes have been, you know, they've had to be evicted or repossessed by the banks, cars. I mean, the devastation that they've wreaked on the families of the Jan Sixers is ridiculous. And for everybody out there that wants to help out the Jan Sixers, and, you know, there's hundreds of us in prison, you know, all the breadwinners.
You have 1 minute remaining.
The breadwinners, the men are locked up, you know, the wives and the young kids are left at home to fend for themselves. If you guys want to help out, the website to go to is sponsorj6.com. You can become a monthly commissary sponsor on there and take care of a Jan Sixer while they're locked up, you know, relieve some of the burden on the family. That website, again, guys, is sponsorj6, the letter J, the number 6, sponsorj6.com. And thank you, guys, for all the blessings and the love and the prayers for the Jan Sixers and the generosity. It truly means the world. You know, it's Hebrews 13:3. You know, you guys are in chains with us when you pray, and, you know, and when we are released from chains, you'll share in our grace, too. At the end of the day, we're being persecuted because we're Christian, and we're conservatives, and we're constitutionalists, and they all kind of intermingle. And this is a modern-day Christian persecution in America. And so thank you, Pastor Ernie. Joe, God bless you guys. I love you. Rachel, good night, sweetheart.
Thank you for using Global Telling.
All right, we are back.
Pastor, I've got to have a comment after listening to him and what Jake was saying. But this should show everyone out there, everyone who heard him last night, tonight, should realize how cruel, how unhuman, how power-lusting this deep state is. They don't care who they hurt, what happens. They don't care about people. All they care about is their power, maintaining power, getting more power. And if this isn't a warning to everyone that we must resist them now, while we've got a chance to defeat them, to vote them, you know, vote people out of office so we can put people in office who will take on the deep state and whittle it down. If this doesn't give you a call to action, I don't know what would take to get Americans to rise to run to the battle. Do you?
No, but I do know this. What we need to do right now, since we have all of these people out there listening to us, remember, much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power. No prayer, no power. And so since we have all of those people out there listening to us who could join us in prayer, see, folks, God knew exactly what he's doing. And when he tells you this, okay, he means it. He holds to it. And so we need to pray. We need to pray that those people, those J6 heroes, will be released and sent home, and that justice will be done. those that have done this, put them there, Nancy Pelosi, Chucky Schumer, Merrick Garland, Chris Wray, Bill Barr, these people that are familiar are responsible for this. For these good people going to prison would take their place, and that by taking their place, it might bring them to repentance. That's what we want. We don't want to see any of them burn in hell. Hell is a horrible, horrible place. We don't even want to see Nancy or Joe Obama, Biden. We want them to be brought to repentance, and we know whatever it takes, and that's probably what it would take for them to be put in their dirty, filthy jails where they sent much better people than themselves. And so, Joe, would you lead a prayer?
Six people need the reparations because they are truly the ones who had their lives destroyed for literally nothing other than to be pawns to be used to terrorize the country by the deep state.
So, Joe, go ahead and lead the people in a prayer. Ask them, okay, you folks out there listening, pray along with Joe. Ask the good Lord to set those captives free. And all across the world, we have brothers and sisters that are in prison for their faith, that those captives would be set free too. So go ahead, Joe.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, as I listen to Jake's words, it brings back to mind, and yes, Lord, even those of us that follow the story, we tend to slide one thing to the back burner. We tend to move things back of our mind. Lord, help these people in any way possible that their lives could be restored, their freedom gained, that, Lord, that somehow you would have mercy and that you would see this power structure broken, that you would see these people delivered. We know all around the world your people are imprisoned, are living in fear, have been attacked, their villages burned, their pastors murdered, kidnapped, people raped, tortured, all for just being Christian. And Lord, we don't like to think these things. We don't like to hear stories like this. We sometimes shut our minds to the truth. But Lord, we need to join as Christian soldiers in battle, and we need to all be running to this battle to be crying out for these people, to be talking to our congressmen, our senators, whoever will listen, doing whatever is in our power to see that these people are freed, to see that their lives are restored, and that the truth be delivered to the world. So, Lord, we just pray that you would wrap your loving arms around them, and I know you're spiritually keeping many of them strong like Jake and working, allowing him to witness and testify, and you're using him mightily. But, Lord, a lot of the others are weaker, don't have the faith. So we just put them in your loving arms and say, Lord, bless them in every conceivable way you can. Help the rest of us to see the danger around us, to see what's happening to our world, to give courage to those that are afraid, to give strength and the faith of those that are weak, that we could all run to this battle, that we could fight this good fight of faith, and that, Lord, we could act like Christian soldiers like you want us to. And we ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
All right. Thank you very much. I wanted to hit us some things very quickly, Joe. There's a state representative in Texas named Gene Wu, and he suggests that the proper response for the U.S. military to drop bombs on Americans that want to close the border. And so, can you imagine that?
Drop bombs on the rest. What about the collateral damage? How about the neighbor next door with the Biden sign in the yard? These people don't think very far, do they?
No. It's an amazing thing that this guy could become a state legislator.
Yeah, speaking, thinking like that. And plus just the violence. Not too many years ago, you talk like that, you would have gotten a visit from an FBI agent somebody would have called and said, hey, we've got a dangerous nut job running around talking about bombing people and how he wants to see people, you know, dead.
Well, nowadays, Joe, you can get a visit from the FBI agent if you go out and save babies at an abortion mill, or if you attend a town hall meeting, or you go to
school board meeting. Want filthy literature read to your little, you know, fourth grade child.
Right.
You know, have him explained how he or she is supposed to be in the wrong body, the wrong sex. Yeah, then you can be followed by the FBI.
It's not what it used to be, is it?
No,
all right,
it sure isn't. Here.
The Gateway Pundit reported during an investigation, Joe, the police found guns, burner phones, prepaid cash cards, and incomplete registrations at a defunct eyeglass store where GBI Strategies, Joe, had set up our operation in the state. GBI was operating in several locations around the state. And so what are we talking about here? This is the state of Michigan, Joe. And here, GBI is one of those crooked organizations that are, their specialty is election fraud. And so here, they're called GBI Strategies, and that's how to, how to rig elections. And here you go. Now we have proof, TGB exclusive, massive 2020 voter fraud uncovered in Michigan, including 800,000 ballot applications sent to non-qualified voters, bags of prepaid gift cards, guns with silencer, burner phones, and a Democratic-funded organization with multiple temporary facilities in several states. Remember how we told you they showed, right? We watched it on the news where Fox News showed that the trucks were there, opened up the back door, and you had box after box of illegal ballots with the name Biden ballots on it, okay? And so here, we know that the investigation was sent to the FBI. Oh, boy. Where it, where it died.
A lot of good death did.
And when the Gateway Pundit released a report in August of 2023, Attorney General Nessel announced days later that after her original silence that she would send it to the FBI again. It should be noted that not one single person was arrested for this massive multi-state ballot registration fraud. Thousands and thousands and thousands of fake registrations. Chris Ray has totally ignored this massive scandal to this very day, and Bill Barr reportedly killed the investigation at that time. You have one too, don't you?
We watched another one when they, I can't remember what office it was, but they did late at night, sent all the Republicans home or sent them out for a break, and the Democrats were left, and we watched them pull two or three suitcases out from under a table.
That was in Atlanta. That was in Atlanta.
Atlanta, thank you. I couldn't remember. And
that's where Roethlisberger.
Ballot boxes, and they started pulling out, and they started putting them through. And, later, all of a sudden, out of Atlanta, it switched from Trump winning to Biden winning by about the same amount that Biden was down, he was then winning by. And, we sat there and watched it on TV. And, like you said, not one person was charged, not one person was arrested.
Well, they had prepared for that. Soros had bought all of these attorney generals, and what basically you had the Bible refers, the Bible refers to them when they sell their souls, when they sell themselves as whores. Okay,
whores.
In fact, they're spoken more in the Bible, referred to whores more than illicit women are. Okay. And so here, it's a funny thing, because the leaders that it's referring to in scriptures are men. So these men are actually referred to more as whores. And boy, do we see it in our judicial system today. It is filled. I mean, it's really gotten bad, hasn't it?
It's gotten terrible, but there's another example of good stuff. Heritage Foundation has set up a election fraud database. Now, you won't hear this on Fox News or any of the mainstream media. It's the only database like it in existence, and it now contains over 1,500 proven cases of election fraud. Proven. In other words, it's gone to court. And they vary, the cases vary from lone wolves stealing one vote to conspiracies that stole many, many votes, defrauded citizens, and sometimes changed outcomes in different elections. And the Daily Signal did the printing of this story, and it appeared several places like World News Daily, but the Daily Signal is Heritage's own news outlet. And I was reading through this different list of things, and they started back in 2017 with just a little over 1,000 entries, and they keep adding cases as they are adjudicated in court. And that's the interesting thing, that there are several hundred cases still being adjudicated, still going through the court system. And there's a lot of detail here. You'd have to go to Heritage. But think about it. Also, they found cases where many illegal aliens were claiming to be citizens. And this is despite the fact that the violation of the law is a federal felony. It's grounds for an alien to be denied citizenship, but instead of denying their citizenship or deporting them, these were given the opportunity to have a pretrial diversion program for 12 months. All they had to do is say, we're guilty. They went to a pretrial diversion, and the charges were dropped upon completion of their respective programs. So basically, they got a little slap on the hand, and 12 months they had to go to this little class once or twice, and then they got a little slap on the wrist and said, don't do it again. And that was all. So now you know why the fraud continues, because in most cases, the government will not go after these people, will not prosecute them, and will not, even if they're found guilty, there really wasn't any punishment to back up the charge, to back up the admission of guilt.
Well, there you go.
This is the left. This is what we're against. This is why we have to vote these people out of office, folks. There is no other choice, right?
Right. And again, but the thing of it is, we have to be much, much smarter. Look, we got to go back to the same day voting. One day, not a month. We got to get rid of these paper ballots. You have to
mail-in ballots, especially the mail-out.
Right, the mail-out ballots, we've got to put a stop to that. We know that the very nature of the Democratic Party is to cheat. That's their nature, okay? Like birds, their nature is to fly, fish to swim. These people, where it comes to election, their nature is to cheat. That's what they're going to be doing. They're already working on ways of doing that. And so we have to watch them much more carefully than ever. Okay, and again, not trust anything, because the corruption is just unbelievable, and some of these people are going to start going to jail now. Do you think the Republicans are getting any smarter at all?
Sometimes I worry. They don't seem to. They always underestimate the enemy. They do not believe the evil of the left. I think they keep seeing them as the loyal opposition instead of what they are.
The enemy.
They're the real insurrectionists. They're the communists trying to do a takeover of our government, and I don't think most Republicans get that.
No, you're right. All righty, we're coming up to a break, so we'll be back. How much time do I have?
Fight the fight!
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Speary Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.